All right, have your Bibles. Turn with me to 1 John 1:9. Today we're going to talk about our works. Last week we talked about Christ's works. Now, nobody can be confused with Christ's work and our works. Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for all our sins, buried and rose again. That's His work. Now, after you're saved, we have works, and we're created into good works, and we're going to look at this. But 1 John 1:9. Now, a lot of religious people out there, and good saved people, always quote this verse, and they don't really realize it's in a different dispensation, and it's going to be in the future, and it's in, you know, they got to confess their sins, and also in the kingdom. Anytime in the kingdom, they had to confess their sins, looking for the second coming to have their sins remitted. We all know what remitted is, remission. You have cancer, sometimes it can be in remission. It's not forgiven or gone. You know, if God heals you, or if the medicine, you know, kills it, it can be gone. But most time, people say they're in remission. Well, this is why John 1:9 is quoted all the time. And I want to show you the difference in this and what our apostle says. In chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What's the opposite of that verse? If we don't confess,
He ain't going to forgive us.
Right. So the opposite of that is not being forgiven. So do we have to confess our sins to be forgiven? No way. Not in the dispensation of grace. Look at just the opposite of that. That's why you compare Scripture with Scripture. You rightly divide the word of truth. Look what Paul, our apostle, says in the dispensation of grace, Colossians chapter 2. And it's good to write them verses down. Compare. Take your pen and write 1 John 1:9 and Colossians 2:10. And then when you want to show somebody the things that are different and why they're different, it helps them, and helps you. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "You are completing Him, which is the head of all principality and power." Are you completing Him? Amen. It says, we're completing Him. Go down to verse 12. "Buried with Him in baptism, where also you're risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who have raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins of the uncircumcision of your flesh, have they quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses." What does all mean? Does all mean all? He has forgiven us every single one of our trespasses. We ain't got to confess nothing. He died for all our sins. I put on the board a lot of times. Jesus Christ died in AD 33. I was born in 1966. I trusted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, in 1990. And when I leave this world, whether rapture or by death, He died in the future for all my sins. All my sins were in the future, and He died for all of them. That's why this is such a great verse. Forgiving us all trespasses. There's not a sin. Say, well, what do you do if you sin? Should we confess? No, Christ died for them. We should say, you can say, Lord, I'm sorry. I wish I wouldn't have did that. But the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit's in you, you quench the Holy Spirit. You ever said something, since you've been saved, you ever said something around some friends, I'm saying, man, I wish I wouldn't say that. It's the Holy Spirit in you. And if you're not saved, it's just plain old conscience. But if you have the Holy Spirit in you, you quench the Holy Spirit. And I know friends that I got that don't understand these verses. They're saved people, and they won't claim 1 John 1:9 all the time. But guess what? You're complete in Christ. You're forgiven. And they think just because you say, well, we put it back under the blood, it's all forgiven, our bad works. No. You've got to judge the seat of Christ. Good works and bad works. And we're going to look at, that's what we're going to look at tonight. Practical application of good work and bad work. Doctrinal application. We got people in the body of Christ might never lie, never cut, never steal, you know, never do none of that. Practical. Just everyday, you know, lying, stealing, cussing. They might never do them things, and they're saved people. And then over here doctrinally, you try to tell them rightly divide the word of truth, or Paul's their apostle, and show them doctrinal things like, oh, I don't care about that. You're crazy. See, that's going to be a bad work or good work, what they think about the book. It's more important, this book, than it is sometimes this. Now, we shouldn't do this where we can lead them to the Lord. If they see us out here cussing and acting foolish, and saying, man, he's just a hypocrite. So we got practical application, but we got doctrinal. And you got to stand for that. You can't stand for denomination. If the Bible says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, is unity and oneness, how many faiths are there out there? There's hundreds and hundreds of faith. And Paul says in Ephesians, there's one faith, the faith of Christ. And we're going to see all this. And when you get a grip on this and you stand for this, and we talked about it on the way, me and Dennis on the way up here, when you stand for the gospel of Christ, which Paul says, my gospel, you will suffer trouble as an evildoer. When you tell people that Paul's gospel is different than Peter's, they're going to look at you like you're crazy. They're going to call you a hypocrite and crazy and everything else in the world. But it don't matter. Because the judgment seat of Christ is what's going to count. And we're going to look at this. Before we go there, turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. This is just application I'm making right now. It's not doctrinal to you. In Hebrews chapter 9, go to verse 27, excuse me. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." So everybody is going to die unless the rapture happens. We're going to judgment. Now I'm making application. When you die, or when the rapture happens, guess where we're going? Judgment seat of Christ. Now we're going to look at the judgment seat of Christ, and it's mentioned three times in your Bible, maybe some more, but this is the three that I've seen. There might be some more, but I see three in the scriptures right now we're going to deal. Go to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Let's go to verse 8. Romans chapter 14, verse 8. It says, "For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live thereof, or we die, we are the Lord's." I like that verse. "For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both to the dead and to the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set a nought thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." So every one of us is going to give an account. As a saved individual, you're going to the judgment seat of Christ. Now, if you're lost and you won't trust Christ your Lord and Savior, there's a judgment Jews call the white throne judgment. So he's going to take people out of hell. That's what's so bad. He's going to take them out of hell and judge them according to their works, how bad they were as a lost person, and cast them in a lake of fire. And there's different degrees. Jesus Christ talks about different degrees. I believe these preachers that tell people they got to work for their salvation, it's going to hit the bottom of the lake of fire and hell. Lake of fire. They're going to hit the bottom because only they're being deceived. They're deceiving people. They're deceiving people and sending people to hell. Now, if you just go out here and live like hell and just do whatever you want and never trust Christ your Lord and Savior, you know, there's different hells. But when you go out here as a man of God, say you're a man of God, and preach that you got to do something instead of settle that cross, I believe them people won't hit bottom of hell because they're different hells. You can read about it. Jesus talks about woe unto them that, you know, preach and tell lies. Like Corinthians, for instance, Satan has his ministers. There's men that are led by Satan that has their ministers. You can check it out in Corinthians. And we're not going into that today, but we've talked before. But Satan has his ministers out there, and they're preaching self-righteousness instead of Christ's righteousness. And as long as they do that, they're not only sending themselves to hell, they're sending people to hell. And Paul said he wished they were cut off. Paul said, "I wish them people that taught that was cut off." And he also says, "I wish they were cursed." Anybody preach any other gospel than what I preach, let him be accursed. So I say it again, an angel from heaven or even himself preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. So Paul's even saying, let myself be accursed if I don't preach the gospel which was sent to me. So that's pretty rough, ain't it? So go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. Let's go to verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather be absent from the body than be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience." So, good or bad? Good or bad? Think about it. After you're saved, Bob just got saved last week. He's got pretty much a clean slate. Now, between now and eternity, or either when he dies or the rapture, he's got a clean slate so he can go out there and share the gospel with people and tell people how he got saved, or he can go back and live under his flesh. I mean, that's something. You have a clean slate. Now, 18 years I've been saved, there's a lot of dumb things I've done in 18 years. I'm not going to sit up here and act like I'm holy. 18 years I've done some stupid things that it's going to burn the judgment of Christ. I know it. There ain't no ifs, ands, but it. But also, there's some things I've done good, and not according to me, the Holy Spirit living in me, the love of Christ constraining me to share the gospel like I'm doing tonight. It's Christ in me doing it. It ain't Alan. Alan's old flesh would really be sitting around watching stupid TV. But the new man in me wants to share the gospel, want people saved, and want to rightly divide the word of truth. I got a job to do. And if I do it willingly, I have a reward. Paul says, a man is called to preach. If he does it willingly, he has reward. But he said, woe unto me, it's still committed unto me, whether I don't do it willingly. So that's the same, I'm in the same boat. Either I do it willingly, or I just, you know, it's laid on me. God said, I called you to preach, and whether it is, go ahead.
You think that's why sometimes he said he felt he was a prisoner? He was a prisoner to, what does that mean?
Well, he's a prisoner, prisoner because he was going to idol worship in Gentiles. God had to put him in prison for people like us. Now he's a prisoner, but I'm sure he still carried that bondage on, because he kept wanting to go to Jews. He said, I wish I myself was accursed from Christ, because he loved the Jews so much he kept wanting to go back to him and preach the gospel. And then finally, the Lord had to put him in prison and said, I'm sending you to the Gentiles. But his love for the Jews, when he got the gospel, he kept wanting to go back. You read it in Romans. He said, I wish myself was accursed for my kinsmen's sake. His kinsmen were the Jews. He wanted them saved in the body of Christ just like himself. He loved what he had, and he wanted them to have it. But you're right, two categories. He was put in prison where he quit going to them, and then also he's put in prison later on for people like me and you. He said, I'm a prisoner for you Gentiles, and we'll get into that later on down the road. But anyway, good or bad, a lot of people think that good or bad is getting into heaven. That good or bad is the judgment seat of Christ. Only saved people are going to be at this judgment seat. Any more questions? You know, good and bad, your works? And good and bad, like I say, we'll go over here practical. This, okay, I'll show, we'll go to it in a second. Let's hit the last one about the judgment seat of Christ. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3. Let's go up to verse 6. Let's go there. I don't know. I like it. Let's just start with one. I like this whole book, verse right here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. And our brethren could not speak unto you as in the spiritual, but as in the carnal, even unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you are yet carnal, for where is there among you envy, strife, division? Are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I'm a Paul, another, I'm Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. And every time I read that verse in 4, he says, who are you, Apollos or Paul? I think a doctor. I mean, I think of a denomination. I hate to say it, but that always pops out at me. Baptist, Methodist. And he said, you're carnal. And I believe the body of Christ shouldn't be split right now. It should. He said he'd have everybody believe the same thing in the same mind. And Romans said, I'd have everybody believe the same thing. So denomination is not of God. God never meant the body of Christ to be split up in denominations. If you want to be a denomination, you have free will, you can do what you want. But at the judgment seat of Christ, that little name tag is going to burn off. If you're saved by God's grace, it's not going to be Baptist over here in this corner, Methodist over in this corner. The body of Christ is going to reign out there with the Lord. But according to what you believe about this book is whether you're going to reign with Him.
What did Apollos represent?
Apollos, he was a person. He was a person like Paul. He was a leader.
Okay, I thought he was comparing Paul and Apollos.
Yeah, he was just saying anybody's just trying to follow, you know, like building him up instead of Christ. They were just trying to make a name. You know, they were trying to make the name. Matter of fact, they was trying to worship over there in Acts. They were worshiping.
You said it reminded you of different denominations.
Yeah, you know, because of the name, they're carnal and they're trying to, you know. He's trying to, you know, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Baptist. That's what it reminds me of.
Following men, worshiping idols,
mm-hmm.
rather than the Lord and the cross.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. For while one saith, I'm a Paul, another, I'm a Apollos, are you yet carnal? And I believe most of the brothers in Christ are saved in these churches, and I'm not knocking that. But they're carnal. when you put more emphasis, I go to these churches, and when you put more emphasis on, praise God, I'm a Baptist. No, praise God, you're saved because of the cross. Yeah. Praise God, I'm a Methodist. No, praise God, you're saved. You're a brother in Christ with me. I don't glory in, I'm a grace believer. I glory in the cross and follow my apostles.
Praise God, you got saved.
Yeah, exactly. Just putting stuff on that don't, like I said, Joseph Christ is going to burn off anyway. They're saved individuals. But anyway, let's go. It said, who then is Paul, who is Apollos, but ministered by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So neither he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. God's the one that gets the glory. I'm nothing. You're nothing. God's the one that gets the glory. He does the increase. We're used of God. Thank God that we can be used of God. I can plant. Greg can come by. Put this, you know, water. But God's the one who gets the increase. God's the only one who can save. Like I tell people all the time, I can't save nobody. I can share the gospel. The Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. I can share the gospel, but God does the saving. Because that's a hopeless... I've been in that situation. I talked to Brother Bob. You want them to trust so bad. You preach the gospel. You want them to trust so bad that you can't trust for them. And that's I've been in that situation maybe 3 or 4 times where like just trust. And God's the one who gives the increase. I can only just share it. I'm just a messenger. Like they don't kill the mailman. I'm just a messenger. Yeah. So now he that planted, he that watereth, the one. Every man that receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husband. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. This is Paul saying, I've laid the foundation. That foundation is Christ. Christ went to the cross, died for our sins, buried and rose again. If you put another foundation on there, it's going to burn. And we're going to look. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, you can lay the right foundation, you can have them. Or here's the other option. If you don't lay that same foundation, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and for the fire shall try every man's work what sort it is. Not how much it is, what sort it is. If you lay on the right foundation, Christ died for our sins, buried and rose again, that's a good foundation. Paul's our apostle, that's a good foundation. You're saved by grace, that's a good foundation. No works involved. But if I come up here, bad foundation, hey, you got to work for it. Christ died, but you got to work for it. Or, well, Peter's your apostle, not Paul. I don't put too much emphasis on Paul. I follow Jesus Christ. The Bible says, be ye followers of me, even as I'm of Christ. Talking about Paul. You can't follow Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry. You don't keep the law. You're not enduring to the end. Jesus Christ endured for you. And that's why you got to rightly divide the word of truth. You got to. And if you don't, at the judgment seat of Christ, wood, hay, and stubble. And there's a lot of brothers and sisters in Christ, they're truly saved, heard the gospel in other churches, but they're building on another foundation and it's going to burn. And you can share it with them. We can get out here and tell them, look, you're building on the wrong foundation. You're adding the cross and then putting you back under lock. And you're not being sound. Sound doctrine. Paul, all through the Bible talks about sound doctrine, sound doctrine, sound doctrine. But let's go to verse 13 again. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work what sort it is. If a man's work abide which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved yet as by fire. So if someone's saying a man can be saved by the grace of God and built on the wrong foundation, his works are going to be burned up, not him. He's not going to be burned up. The Holy Spirit's in him, he's saved. But if he builds on the wrong foundation or adds to the cross or takes away the cross ignorantly or says Paul's not your apostle, don't rightly divide this book, at the judgment seat of Christ, it's going to burn. Like I say, we're going to see practical stuff, but then we're going to see doctrinal stuff and how important. And these two goes hand in hand. If you're doing both sides, you're going to have some rewards. Now, you can mess up practically. A lot of people don't, in church maybe, they never cuss, never lie, never steal. But like I say, they don't care about this book. They don't study this book right divide. When you show it, like, I ain't worried about it. That's just as bad as doing the practical things. And we're going to look at that. First of all, we're going to show you that some people that hopefully is going to hear this tape don't know that Paul's your apostle. Go to 1 Corinthians. I'm just going to show 2 verses, or like 4 or 5 verses where Paul says he's your apostle. But 1 Corinthians, right here at it. chapter 4, verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. It says, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, and out there in the world, there's probably 10,000, there's probably millions of them. So it says, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Paul saying, I begotten you through the gospel because it's given to him. Every man is saved by the grace of God in them denominations. Are saved by Paul's gospel. Even if they don't realize that Paul calls it his gospel and he was given it, if they preach Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for sins and buried and rose again, it's Paul's gospel. If they don't like it or not, it's his gospel and he's the one that Jesus Christ and Revelation gave to. And I don't care if they get mad about it or what. Amen. And I praise God if they are preaching that gospel, because there's people out here. It's like Deborah said, she got saved in a Baptist church. The gospel's being preached. I'm not knocking my Baptist brothers or Methodist brother preaching the gospel. I praise the Lord for them preaching. They just don't sometimes preach it enough and don't see the sincerity of how important. They take it granted like everybody's saved, you know, and they shouldn't have that mentality. Unless somebody like y'all sit out here and shared your testimony, unless you have a testimony, the words come out of your mouth, that's when I believe you're saved. If you don't have a testimony, you're not saved. There's got to be a time and a place where you trust to Christ your Lord and Savior. You might not remember the date, but you remember if it's day or night and where you was when you got saved and about how old you were. But anyway, it says, we just read that you have 10,000 instructors. It says, for in Christ Jesus I begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. He's telling them, be ye followers of me. For this cause I have sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Paul gave Timothy the doctrine. He says, son Timothy, Lord shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ. He gave Timothy doctrine. He said, these books I wrote are important to the body of Christ. We're going to look at it one more verse. There's plenty more of them, but we're in Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And people always say they're following Christ. Or if you're going to follow Christ today, you're going to do what this verse says, or you're going to be wrong. And you can mark it out. I don't care if you're a preacher. It don't matter to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, it says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. If you're going to follow Christ today, you're going to follow him through your apostle. And if you don't, it's going to burn at the judgment seat of Christ. You mark her down, it's going to burn. It says, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep them in the ordinances I delivered unto you. But I wouldn't know, of course, this is something that's about the head, but the whole thing, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances I delivered unto you. One more. Timothy's a good one. Here's what I like in Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Paul tells, we might hit on that in a minute, but I like this one. Paul tells Timothy, verse 1, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, that the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. There therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with affairs of this life, that he may please him who chose him to be a soldier. And if any man also strive for mastery, is he yet not crowned except he strive lawfully? The husband that labor must be the first partakers of the fruits. Here's my verse. Consider what I say in the Lord, give thee understanding in all things. If you're going to understand all things, you consider what Paul said. And he said it 13 books. He said, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David is raised from the dead according to what? What does the next one say? According to what? Right. To my gospel. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even in the bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Paul says, if you preach my gospel, you're going to be suffering as trouble as an evildoer. Because you know what you're going to hear? Well, I follow Jesus. You don't follow Jesus in his earthly ministry. You're not enduring to the end. You're not keeping the law for salvation. That's what Jesus Christ preached. Told the ritual, what must I do? What good thing must I do to have eternal life? He said, keep the law. He said, I have. He said, sell out what thou have. Come follow me and thou shalt have eternal life. I wouldn't tell nobody that. Somebody come up to me and ask me, what should I do to be saved? And it's not disrespecting the Lord. It's just in that dispensation, that's what they had to do. Somebody come up to me and ask me, What good thing must I do to have eternal life? I said, first of all, there's nobody good. You're a sinner, and Christ went to the cross and died for your sins. And he said, and that's whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'd say call upon the name of the Lord. Go ahead.
I remember 14 years ago, mm-hmm. I told you those exact words. Mm-hmm. I told you that I don't follow Paul.
Right.
I follow Jesus Christ.
Right.
But I was naive to and didn't know the right foundation.
Right.
And you are going to follow Paul because he's the only one that's got the right foundation.
Exactly.
But you follow Paul, but your faith and trust is in Jesus
Christ. Exactly.
And that's why
Paul always lifted up Christ. People
on Paul. That's right. That's just the beginning of dispensation of grace.
Right.
Right.
Paul never lift up himself. Exactly. Paul never lifts up himself. He lifts up Jesus Christ in the cross. You never said, Paul thinks I'm something. You know what Paul says about himself? I'm the chief sinner. Paul says, I'm the chief sinner. It's just giving the gospel of the grace of God to Paul. People say, oh, y'all worship Paul. I don't care if his name is John or Jim or Joe or Blow or whatever his name. I know he was sent to the Gentiles as the apostle, and I thank God that he suffered. Paul suffered a lot to get the message out. That's what he did for us.
Not to mention that Jesus was into the house of David and to the Jews, and he rejected the scripture about the lady that and the daughter that wanted
to be healed.
Yeah,
called her a dog. A Gentile woman is a dog.
Yeah, called her a dog.
Yeah, and then people say, "Oh, I'd love to live back in Jesus' day." He'd have thought every one of us was a Gentile dog, especially us that didn't bless Israel. He wouldn't even spoke to us. He had to send Paul to go to idol worshiping Gentiles that was outside the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. And that's a whole different subject indeed. But we'll talk about that one day. But anyway, let's get back where we were. He said, remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as the evildoer. And that's true. You'll be an evildoer. If you go tell people Paul and Peter didn't preach the same gospel, they're going to look at you. You're crazy. And Paul and Peter didn't. Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and thou shalt receive the Holy Ghost. He said, he never preached the cross. He didn't even know about the cross. When Jesus told him he was going to die, he said, not so, Lord. This be far from you. He didn't even know about it.
Yeah.
Until, you know when he knew about it? Paul taught him in Galatians. He said, and that's when Peter and Paul said, shook hands and said, Peter said, I'll go to circumcision, you go to uncircumcision. Only way Peter knew about the gospel is Paul. That's why he wrote in 1 Peter, Paul, the things Paul's given is hard to be understood. Well, you've read it in 1 or 2 Peter, said, them things Paul has hard to be understood. Well, if they preach the same gospel, why would it be hard for Peter to understand? Read verses. This Bible will come alive if you rightly divide it. If you don't, you'll just read a couple of scriptures and say, boy, I read the Bible today. This book will come alive to you if you rightly divide it. So practical. Look what Paul, I'm going to show you a practical. Go to Ephesians. Or we'll get through here in a minute. Probably went a little long tonight. That's how you learn your Bible. We're here to learn this book. That's all that matters. In Ephesians chapter 2. I told you bad. I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go to verse 23. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. And this is saved people. Look what Paul has to tell them. This goes to practical over here on this practical side. It says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. So you got to put him on, that new man that's in you. Put him on. You put him on by getting in this book, putting the Word of God in you, which is after God is created righteous and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So, here's my marker. Practical. Put away lying. He's telling saved people, put away lying. Wherefore, put away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Put away anger. He said, sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Practical. Don't be stealing. This is saved individuals. He said, let him stole steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands, that he may, which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let not, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Cursing. Don't be going around with corrupt communication, just yelling and cussing. I don't know how to spell it, but we're going to try. That's all practice. Don't lie, don't anger, steal, communicate, with good to use the edifying that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. When you do these things, you grieve the Holy Spirit. And when you lie to somebody, you grieve the Holy Spirit. When you're angry with somebody, I got a bad temper. I know about anger. I know about this flesh. I get hot-headed and blah, 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 blah. Bad communication. And the Holy Spirit deals with me. He's like, why did I say that? Man, that was stupid. Still, I ain't stole nothing in a while. Maybe when I was a kid, but I ain't stole nothing in a while. But all this, or cussing, you know, anger, or however you want to do it, but them are practical things. But there's some doctrinal things. Look in Ephesians. We're right here in Ephesians 4. But look in verse... We're going to read 1 through 15, and we'll probably call it a night. We'll go to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read 1 through 15. Now, this is doctrinal. That's practical, but look at doctrinal. And a lot of members in the body of Christ don't have a clue about these right here. And we're going to read. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation which wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. So you want to do this. When you show them this, you want to do it out of meekness and love. You don't want to go in there and think you're some big shot. You want to do it out of love and meekness. That's the way you show people this. And if I go in there and say, oh, y'all stupid, y'all should be doing this, and nobody's going to listen to me. So out of love and meekness, do this. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. It don't say make unity. It's endeavoring to keep it. The Bible's got it. It's up to us to keep it. We're not making unity. We're not saying, okay, all of us come together, baptism, and we all just believe. You can believe that. That's fine to come there. No, there's unity. We got to keep the unity. So everybody's got to get in line with this unity. There is one body, the body of Christ, one Spirit, Holy Spirit, even as you're called, in one hope of your calling. Hope, the rapture, going to be with the Lord. The hope. We're going to hope we're going to get up out of this world. It ain't like a maybe so hope. I know that the Lord's going to shout, and we're going up there to be with the Lord. So that's the hope. One Lord, Lord Jesus Christ, one faith. It ain't the Baptist, Methodist faith, like I said earlier. It's the faith of Christ. Christ went to that cross by faith and died for our sins. He gave the faith to Paul, the faith of Christ that keeps us by the grace of God, keeps us saved. It's not our faith goes up and down. His faith, like I said plenty of times before, I've taught on the faith of Christ. It never goes up and down. His faith. And only in a King James Bible, the Word of God says that. NIV don't say that. The RSV, only a King James Bible says the faith of Christ. Check it out. But anyway, one baptism. I know there's two or three baptisms in this Bible. There's water, there's spirit, there's baptism of fire. I mean, there's a bunch of baptisms. There's one. Guess what that one baptism is? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're baptized into the body of Christ. You don't need no water on you. You don't, after you get saved, I know everybody says identification. Baptism is identification. But if there's oneness, baptized into the body of Christ. I thought you might have a question. Oh, okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, you can read it. We take time to read it. You're baptized into the body of Christ. There ain't a bit of water. It's all spirit. Everything we got spiritual, we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places is what Christ said. Okay. One God, one Father, who is above all and through all and in you all, but unto every one of us is given the grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up high, he laid captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. You know, he ascended, what is it, but also descended first into lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and pastors and teachers. What for? Why did he give them gifts? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto a measure of the stature of fullness of Christ. That, here's the reason why, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait and deceive, but speak the truth in love, may grow up into him and all things which is the head, even Christ. The whole purpose of you rightly dividing the word of truth and standing in the unities, what he just laid out, where you won't be tossed to and fro. Because that's doctrinally speaking. If you don't follow your apostle, you don't preach his gospel, which he calls my gospel, you don't keep the oneness, I got news for you. In the judgment seat of Christ, doctrinally speaking, it's going to burn. You can mark her down as sure as I'm sitting here on this stool. It will burn at the judgment seat of Christ if you don't keep that unity He just laid out. That's why He laid it out. There's oneness. And the body of Christ is oneness. It's many members, but it's made of one unity. It's the body of Christ. It's oneness. And if you don't keep it, it will burn at the judgment seat of Christ. That's practical. That's doctrinal. And what? I'll read one more verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. And this is what, this right here is what should motivate us to get out there and do this. I don't serve my Lord and Savior because I'm so scared that He's going to hit me over the head with a bat or He's going to send me to hell. This is the reason I do it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 says, "For the love of Christ constrained us, because we thus judged that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that He died for all, that they all which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again." The love of Christ has constrained you. He died for us. We shouldn't live unto ourselves. We should live for Him, because guess what? He loved us so much and went to that cross and died for us. And if, like I say, whoever's listening to this tape, if you're lost, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou can be saved. If anybody's in here has never had a day that they trusted Christ, the Lord said, trust Him. It's the greatest thing you'll ever do. And after you are saved, walk in good works, practically and doctrinally. You can do these and it can burn over here. Or you can do doctrinally and live like lie, anger, steal, cuss. That's bad works too. So it's practical and doctrinal thing as far as our works. So I thank you for your time. Thank you.